Small Town Podcast is made possible by generous support from the Georgia Municipal Association. GMA supports Georgia cities. Small Town Podcast is supported by Consolidated Pipe and Supply Company. Consolidated Pipe is a full-line supplier of products for the water, wastewater, and natural gas industries, and they serve utilities and public works departments in cities, large and small, every day. They're the exclusive distributor of Master Meter AMI-AMR technology. As a family-owned company with a legacy that began in 1960, let Consolidated Pipe show you that they are dedicated to service.
I hereby call this episode to order.
Hey, small towners, it's Mayor Matt Seal, and thanks for joining me for another episode of Small Town Podcast. Now, to say that this year has been challenging would be the greatest of understatements. I don't know anyone who can honestly say they've not been dramatically affected by the global pandemic that has taken hold of us this year. While most of the effects have been negative, the seriousness of this year's circumstances have caused many people to better appreciate what they have and the place where they live. I know that in the great city of Osceola, we have pulled together like never before. Our community has seen numerous examples of people taking care of each other, sacrificing for the good of others, supporting local businesses, and focusing on what we do have and what we can do, not on what we don't have and what we can't do. With that in mind, I thought the best way to end this year's season of Small Town Podcast would be to focus on my own small town, the great city of Osceola, Georgia. So today, we visit with the former mayor of the great city of Osceola, Mayor Lamar Royal. It'd be difficult to interview myself. And also the current and long-serving chief of police of Osceola, Chief Billy Hancock. We're going to the small town of Osceola, Georgia. Come go with me. Growing up in coastal Georgia, I only thought I lived in a small town. As soon as I graduated high school, I moved to the big city of Atlanta for college and to start my life. My life is a journey, and I ended up in Osceola, Georgia. Population 3,400. We've got two traffic lights here. We're not looking to get a third anytime soon. Some years later, the people of Osceola made me their mayor. Man, I love living in a small town. Other folks do too. This is the Small Town Podcast, and I'm your host, Mayor Matt Seal of the great city of Osceola, Georgia. Small Town Podcast is sponsored by Public Software. While the name may sound new, Public Software has been helping small towns, cities, counties, and utility districts for over 50 years. They provide integrated software to help manage utility billing, accounting, and additional services. They help organizations accurately calculate, collect, and distribute money, print and mail statements, and effectively manage budgets. Some say they are a B2B company, but Public Software is focused on H2H, human-to-human connections. With decades of proven success and reliable service, let them make your software applications work seamlessly with the human interactions in your community. You can learn more about Public Software and what they can do for you and your organization by visiting www.publicsoftware.com. That's www.publicsoftware.com. Public Software. Strong relationships, stronger communities. All right, this is a little odd because I'm sitting in my own city council chambers in the great city of Osceola. And since we did an episode, wanted to talk about Osceola, well, I couldn't interview myself. So I found a former mayor of the great city of Osceola who served a lot longer than I have and maybe hope to. Mayor Lamar Royal. Mr. Mayor, thanks for joining us on Small Town Podcast.
Glad to be here, Mayor.
Like I said, it's just a little odd. So this is the first time that I've interviewed other mayors before, but never one from the city where I'm currently serving as the mayor. I've interviewed former mayors before. You remember Billy Trapnell over in Metter, Georgia?
He was big with GMA.
So, okay, he was mayor over there for 24 years, and I only interviewed him after he wasn't the mayor anymore. I was hoping he'd give me some better stories that way because, you know, when you're in office, you can't say some of the same things you can get away with afterwards. So, So yeah, we're going to talk about what Ocilla was like before Mayor Matt, which is give me some good stories I can tell just from talking to you before. But I'll start out like I do with all my episodes to talk about you and ask you, were you born in Ocilla, Georgia?
No, actually, I was born in Douglas, Georgia.
Okay, just nearby, next county over.
Yeah. My mother and my father lived in Irwin County, but we lived closer to Douglas, and all my grandparents are from Ambrose, Georgia.
Okay, over in Coffee County as well.
Coffee County. So I was in Ambrose. I was raised in downtown Ambrose, Georgia.
Downtown Ambrose. What's the population of Ambrose these days? You say downtown. That's about three places, right?
Correct.
But grew up in Irwin County, you said.
I grew up in Irwin County and graduated here in Irwin County, 1960.
That's a little
get your calculators out, and yeah, I'm that old.
No, I wasn't going to do that to you now. Well, what did you decide to do after graduating high school in 1960?
Left Ocilla, left Irwin County to go to Marietta to Southern Tech.
Okay.
I graduated from Southern Tech and got a job at Scientific Atlanta, and I worked there for 35 years, and I retired from Scientific Atlanta.
And I assume you were coming back a little bit. Did you go back and forth?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because your parents were still here, right?
So, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Still
and
the
my
family
wife,
connection.
My wife, Cheryl, is from Ocilla, and I married her in Atlanta when I was in Atlanta.
Yeah.
We lived there together, and she died in 2001, unfortunately, at a young age. You know?
Yeah.
But we had a good life. We had a good time. We retired together, and we moved back to Ocilla, so she was here. She was able to be here for 3 years with her parents. They lived here. Mr. and Ms. Maurice Henderson, they lived here in Ocilla.
So, obviously, you know, you went to Atlanta and had a very successful career with Scientific Atlanta, good company. But then when the career was, you were ready to retire, what made you decide to come back to Ocilla? You could have stayed in the Atlanta area, the hustle and bustle of the big city?
We could, but we were in Gwinnett County, and actually it was very nice living up there. It was no hustle and bustle.
Right.
But we were both from Irwin County. And we chose to come back and live in Irwin County.
It was just home.
It was just home, yes.
Yeah. So you came back. You said you came back in what year?
2000. Year 2000 is when I retired and moved back.
And it wasn't too long after that. You got shoehorned into running for elected office, huh?
In 2000.
They saw you coming.
Yeah. There were supposed to be some other people running, and they all backed out. That left me as the only one running.
You drew the short straw.
That was an easy election.
What was it that, I guess, what was it people were saying to you why you should run? And what was it that, whether you reluctantly or not, you did it? So what was it that kind
you know,
of made
I don't
you...
remember how they talked me into that, Matt. But it was... I'm glad they did. I enjoyed it all 12 years. It was they called on me. I was a manager at Scientific Atlanta. And I guess they called on me as a manager.
Figured if you could manage up there, you could manage down here.
I enjoyed it.
Now I've heard this story, but I've never asked you about it. So here I am with microphones recording, and I hope we get this right. I don't know if it was the night of your election, or I think it was before you swore in as mayor. You had an encounter with an officer from the Ocilla Police Department.
That was actually the night of the election.
It was on election night.
Yes, it was after the votes were counted.
So you already know the story I'm talking about.
And I had been declared as mayor.
Okay. So you were the mayor-elect.
I remarried at the time.
Yeah.
My wife, Pat, and I were on a motorcycle. We rode my motorcycle, BMW motorcycle. She liked to ride, too, to Fitzgerald. And coming back to Ocilla, I got carried away and got pulled over out this side of Deal, where Deal's Hardware is now.
Right, just inside the city
limits. We're doing 70 miles an hour.
In a
55 mile an hour cone. And
so one residential area. I just want to clarify that for everybody.
The policeman got my name and so forth, and I didn't tell him that he got my name and tag. He got on the radio, and then I noticed he stayed. He stayed there in his car a long time. I think they told him you just pulled over the new mayor, but in a little while another car came up, and then he came out and got out of his car and came back and said, I'm going to have to write you a ticket. And I said, well, I would have been upset if you had not. And I said, now I can tell anybody that asked me to fix a ticket, I can tell them to do exactly what I did, go to City Hall and pay it.
So you paid the ticket.
That worked out great. You know, nobody ever, very rarely did I get asked to do anything, and I never did.
I've been asked a couple times, and actually the chief of police, your friend and mine, Chief Billy Hancock, he actually kind of told me that, at least the general part of that story that you'd got. I couldn't remember the date and all the details like you just laid it out, but that had kept you out of a little bit of trouble trying to fix tickets and, you know, playing favorites and all that stuff. So actually, now I haven't been pulled over by anybody in the Osceola Police Department since I was elected mayor, but really early on, people would ask me, hey, can you take care of, I have had people actually come to City Hall. I never met them before. In fact, one person came and said, hey, do you know so-and-so? And like gave me the name, and I didn't know the person he was talking about. I said, no. He says, well, he told me to come talk to you about getting this ticket taken care of. And I've always given a nice standard answer. I'm glad I set this out. I'm glad he warned me and told me how much benefit you got out of that. I said, I'd hate it if Judge Pajadas came in and tried to tell me how to run the city, so I'm not going to tell him how to run his courtroom or try to get involved with that. So
good.
That's
a good answer.
That's kept me out of a little bit of trouble so far.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that officer and I had a lot of respect for that officer. He was not with us anymore.
But he went ahead and wrote the ticket, and after he found out who you were.
He wrote the ticket. He said he was going to have to, which I admired him for that.
And he might have been a little nervous about next year's Christmas bonus.
I told him I'd have been disappointed had you not written the ticket.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So once you paid your ticket and became the mayor officially, what are some of the things you set out to do? Now, you said you can't remember those people that came and got you. was there kind of a big project or a set of things that you kind of set out to do?
The first battle I faced, was the most difficult. The money, financial situation. We were in dire straits. Mm-hmm. We had a big operating loan out that had to be repaid. They managed to pay it, but we were broke in January. Had to go to the bank and borrow money. And from there, it was a battle for a few years until we got the city on its feet.
Mm-hmm.
Got some money in the bank.
Yeah.
And that was a difficult. Very difficult to do.
It's real easy to get into financial trouble. Takes a lot longer to get out of it.
You got it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
It is.
Real easy to write the checks, but getting the new deposits to cover them is a different story. And after that, you could have done that in your first 4 years, but you did three terms.
I did three terms.
You're the longest serving mayor in Osceola history. You know that?
That is correct.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe you have an opportunity. You're young. You have an opportunity to.
It's not a specific goal to beat you.
Yep, you got the opportunity. You can do it. You got 12. You've only 12 years. How long have you been mayor? This is your second.
I came in
because mayor 2 years.
It was a special election in 2015, and then I had to run for re-election in 2017. So I'm in my, I guess I'm starting my sixth year.
Yeah.
About now.
So, yeah. Piece of cake.
So I'm halfway to yours, right?
Piece of cake. Yes. Well, the chief told me that unfortunately, this is. The three previous mayors had died in office.
That's why I'm not going to strive for that goal. You made it out alive.
I did make it out alive. There were times I've wondered about it.
So what kept you? Because obviously it sounds like people came to you and said, "Hey, it's your management experience that you wanted to get the city on the right financial track." But you accomplished that in the first few years. So what kept you going two more terms?
Well, I enjoyed working with the people. I enjoyed Roosevelt George, who you worked with a little, and he's retired now.
He was there when I first got
here. Bruce and all the folks with the city and Lucille. Enjoyed working with the people.
Now, did you? I think you had a nickname for Lucille.
Money Penny.
That's right, Money Penny. She's our city clerk and financial officer. That's right. She was. I think you've credited her, and I would continue to credit her for keeping the city solvent. So,
Yes.
She sits quietly in council meetings, but if you try to spend too much money, that's when she starts to talk.
Yes.
Good finance officer.
Yep. I enjoyed working with Money Penny.
What were some of the perks? I mean, if you enjoy working with the department heads, it was some good people.
I enjoyed working with all the people.
There's plenty of headaches of being a small town mayor, but tell us some of the good stuff.
Well, I enjoyed when we got the grants.
Yeah.
We got the new water tower at the industrial park, a new water tank. Got a lot of sewer lines, and you're continuing the replacing sewer lines and drainage, et cetera. It was enjoyable doing the improvements. I regretted, the one thing I would love to do and still would like to see the city is turn it into a retirement community. Mm-hmm. As I always said, retired people, if they move to town, generally they pay their taxes. Generally, they do not need the police services, and they don't put children in school, and they spend their money locally. And the property taxes from retired people's homes probably will be more than the factories after you give them all the perks you have to,
right,
to get them.
You don't, you give them the amenities as far, yeah, as the community, yeah, but you, exactly, don't have to give them the financial incentives to bring industry like that.
Exactly.
Okay.
I would love to see us have get more, entice more retired people to move here.
I know you didn't say it directly, but I feel like I've just been given my marching orders from the former mayor of Osceola to go take care of some things.
Florida's a good place to get them from, too. During hurricane season.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know what's interesting, and I've had this conversation with a few people across the state, while COVID and the coronavirus pandemic has been devastating just across the board, it has actually made people look a little more closely at rural communities. For, well, I mean, not just retirement, but for business development, where to expand, where to live, and especially if even working families, where if you can do things teleworking and it doesn't matter where you are, places like Osceola just got a second look that they weren't getting before. And certainly for retirees, if you can make sure you've got the basic amenities like you're talking about, making sure you have what attracts people that want to come have some good leisure opportunities and things like that. So yeah, we've had some conversations about that. It's just about getting to work and taking the action to do it. Yeah.
The other thing, I enjoyed working with the county. Joey Whitley and I we attended meetings together, and people would say we were the exception. We rode together to most of the meetings.
Yeah.
We were the exception because cities and counties apparently aren't supposed to cooperate and get along, but we did, and I know you are working with Joey, and you'll, yeah, be with me. With the new county commission.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, it's definitely, like you said, it's the exception, not the rule. There's plenty of cases where cities and counties in Georgia and other states don't get along because of some of the differences.
And I find that odd, don't you?
Well, it's in a rural community, I feel like we can't afford to go to battle over things.
Right.
You know, we've got so many challenges that we need to work on together. And really it's not even about the city and county and just in our county, but we need to be partnering better with our neighbors in the surrounding counties and in those small towns too. Cause I mean, it's just not the way the world works now. It's just too hard to stand alone as a small community, even the size of Tifton or Douglas, you know, needing to partner with those.
It is.
And for reference, for those people that don't know Tifton or Douglas, they're about 30 minutes to our east and west. And I think in the 14 to 15,000 population range. So for us, that's a booming metropolis, but compared to in Atlanta, it's still a very small town. So, well, I wanted to ask you this, because I know you had a very good relationship with the city attorney at the time. I'm not going to tell you any embarrassing, ask
there,
you to tell
time, I could have hit him on the head with a gavel, but I had an excellent relationship with the city attorney.
Harry Mixon was his name, and I think I've heard him referred to as the sixth councilman from time to time. There are five council members in Osceola, and he spoke up as if he were the sixth sometimes.
He was not bashful. He would speak up during the meetings, but he always would steer me to do the correct thing. Legally and otherwise.
Yeah.
And I appreciated that. And I thought the world of Harry.
Yeah.
I really missed him.
What were some of the, like, because he gave a lot more than just his legal opinion on things from time
he
to
did.
Time is what I remember.
He did.
I saw that in some of the meetings I attended just as a private citizen. But then he always made the stories in the paper about the council meetings more lively from time to time. So.
Yes. Harry was a historian of Irvine County. We lost a lot of opportunity there too.
Well, and he was a former state representative from here.
Yes, he was.
So he was. He had served in various capacities our community for many years. So
yes, he was a Sunday school teacher also.
Okay, no, I didn't realize that.
Yes, he was Osceola Baptist.
Yeah,
and he did a great job at that. He really did.
Yeah, yeah.
He had my utmost respect, and I really do miss him. And I think I had his respect also.
I believe you did. And I actually remember reading that one of the reasons you decided not to run for re-election when you finally decided to not be there, Mr. Harry had passed just previous to that. And I think you missing him was part of the, we've done enough, and,
yeah,
and it was time to kind of
12
move on,
years so. Was long enough.
Yeah. Do you miss it?
No, not really. I never was one to care. At Scientific Atlanta,
yeah,
I had meetings. Mm-hmm. I was a manufacturing manager. I had to go to meeting after meeting and to tell people when their shipment would, when we would make their shipment to this division. And we served all the divisions.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you the truth, I got burned out going to meetings. And as mayor, you still have to go
to
meetings.
That's right. You retired from corporate America.
Yeah, you go to was RDC at the time,
right.
Meeting and other meetings. And I did not like to go to meetings. So that was one reason I gave it up. And Harry, and it was just time. It was time.
Yeah, yeah. So in those 12 years, again, longest serving mayor in Ocilla, Georgia history, not looking to break that. What might be one of the more, interesting experiences or story you could tell?
Colorful, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a time, I must admit, in my 12-year service that I did accept a bribe.
Oh, goodness.
The only time, one and only time.
Confession time.
And it was involving paving the driveway behind the post office.
Okay.
I was told by a prominent citizen, a lady in Ocilla.
You're going to leave her name out to protect the not-so-innocent?
If I would pave that, get that driveway paved, and it was rough, that she would bring me a pecan pie. And by George, we got the driveway paved, and certainly, sure enough, she came to my house one day bearing a pecan pie. So I did accept the bribe, and I ate it.
And you're talking about that alley where people can drop off their mail?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not a driveway. Okay. You said driveway. I thought, man.
The alleyway. It had potholes in it.
Yeah, yeah.
And people were really wanting it paved. They'd move the drop-off. You had to go down the alley to
right,
do your
right.
drop-off. So it needed paving anyway.
But you were influenced by—
I didn't realize it was that bad.
You were influenced by a pecan pie on that one.
Yes. People in pie.
Your conscience is clear. You've made your confession now, and we'll definitely put this in the podcast.
I did take a bribe. You know, it's the only time I was ever offered a bribe.
Really?
Yeah.
I've been waiting for those. Everyone keeps talking about how all of us politicians are all getting rich off of stuff. I keep waiting for the class the GMA teaches about
if we're not
how you can enrich yourself. Yeah, we're in the wrong part of politics.
We're in the wrong part of the country, man. But you could take it as a compliment if you haven't been offered a bribe.
Okay.
That's the way I took it that way.
I just get told all the time that I'm supposed to do my job, and my job is, and then the person tells me exactly what my job is, even if I've never heard it that way before.
Exactly. There you go.
A lot of different opinions about what your job is, huh?
Yeah.
What about something else? Any other remembrances from your time as the mayor of the great city of Ocilla?
It was enjoyable. I really enjoyed meeting with the RDC folks. I was railroaded into accepting the chairmanship down there for 3 or 4 years.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah.
And those are the regional commissions now, but it was the—
Our friend, and he's
the
deceased
RDCs,
now,
yeah.
Gerald in Fitzgerald.
Gerald Thompson.
Fitzgerald.
Yep.
Yeah, he was driving the train, and
they railroaded
me into being the chairman.
Well, I'm sure you did a fine
job. I understand you were on the—
I'm on the executive committee of the regional commission. I think they're trying to start up the train towards me right
Who's
now.
Who's the chairman these days?
It's Joyce Evans. She's not the chair of the Lowndes County Commission, but she's one of their county commissioners, and she's been— can't remember
she's
if she's
now the chairman
just,
of South
she's
Georgia
now,
Regional Commission.
Yeah, the Regional Joyce Commission. Evans, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm third in line because Lee Gowan, that's the mayor of Folkestone, is the vice chair, and then I got kind of— I'll say shoehorn, sorry, Lisa, but was encouraged strongly to be the secretary treasurer, even though I don't take notes and I don't handle any of the money. I've always thought that was funny. You always have a secretary treasurer of these boards we're on, but you don't do either of those things that a secretary or a treasurer does. And so now I understand that that I may be— there's some concern about whether or not I'm going to be the chair soon. I'll just say it that way. So yeah, so I'll be able to say the same thing you did. I got railroaded into being the chair of the regional commission. But that is an incredible organization. It's so the staff does most of the work of the
yeah.
council anyway. So
conduct the meeting.
That's right. You sit there and Lisa Cribb does all the work and tries to make you look as good as you possibly can. So
yeah, you got it. That's exactly right. Lisa does a good job.
She does. So what is it you think, obviously, you know, you grew up here, you had family connections and roots, and then when it was time to retire, this was the only place you even thought about coming back in retirement. So what is it you think, in your opinion, makes Ocilla such a great small town, a great place to be?
Well, just the fact that it is a great small town.
That's the first one right there.
Yeah, I worked in Doraville. I lived in Gwinnett County. In Gwinnett County, we restored an old farmhouse, two-story farmhouse. We actually had cows all around us in pastures.
Yeah.
We were in the boondocks up there.
So not much boondocks left in Gwinnett County these days, but.
It was not, but then it started changing. And today, the old house is now bed and breakfast that we renovated, and shopping centers, and I would not want to live there. And Osceola is a great small town, and I wish we could grow some, but nothing like that. I'd be like some of the elders of the city. They say they used to say, if you want this town to be like Atlanta, move to Atlanta. And I can understand them saying that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's a different feel. You want to feel like a close-knit community. You like it that, sometimes it's inconvenient, but the fact that everybody knows your business and everybody looks out for each other, and sometimes that's inconvenient, but for the most part, when somebody's in trouble, everybody finds out and kind of tries to come to everybody's rescue, and you just don't have that in a bigger place.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
But yeah, you have the opportunity to walk to work. You're two blocks away, and you...
I do.
It's a...
Sometimes people catch me, hey, Mayor, I've been looking for you.
Yeah, pull the car over to ask you a question. I've done that before.
That happens more than once.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's okay. And that's something else. And I've talked about this, and I'm sure you have too. Our colleagues from the Georgia Municipal Association from bigger cities, we don't have a city manager here, so the direct access is a little more necessary. Places where it's just a much bigger population, they have bigger staffs, they have people to handle each little thing. And here, we're all wearing a bunch of different hats, and so that access is it's a little more necessary. And it's also why you want to be in a small town. You want to be able to know who your public servants are, and who's working for the city or the county, the police, the fire, those kinds of things. And that's part of the character that draws people in. And
you're right,
makes it feel more like home, I guess.
That's why I like it.
So you still wouldn't want to be anywhere else?
Nope. Well, I don't know now. Don't put me on the spot now. I love Utah.
You go out to Utah often?
Yeah, I haven't made it yet, but my dream for many, many years has been to ride through Monument Valley sitting on a Harley.
Okay.
And I haven't made it yet. And who knows? I may make it.
You are an avid motorcycle rider and also a classic car collector. When did you get into that? Either one of those, really.
Motorcycles, I was age 26.
Okay, so you've been doing that for a while.
Do the math. I got my first motorcycle.
You already told us when you graduated high school.
And my wife and I, Cheryl, would take off on weekends from Gwinnett County.
Yeah.
And go up all through the mountains, spend a night somewhere. And really enjoyed it.
Yeah. How'd you get into the classic cars?
I started that. I always loved cars when I was a teenager. But I started back in the 80s. Mm-hmm. I got into Pontiacs, and then a 57 Chevrolet. I had another 56 Ford, and I sold the 57 Chevrolet, and I regret not keeping that thing.
Well, you probably bought and sold several.
Gold mine today.
Because you've got a Model A that you still have now, right?
Yes, I do.
How long have you had that? Because that's been in many a parade in 07.
I don't know. It's a few years. I've got the Pontiac convertible.
Yep.
And I got an 84 Oldsmobile that I drive. That's my personal car.
Uh-huh.
I love it. And I got two motorcycles right now. I'm down to two.
Down to two? What have you been up to?
I sold one a few months ago. Okay. I've sold two in the past six months.
You had four motorcycles at the same time.
I had four motorcycles.
And you're down to two.
I'm down to two.
Oh, man. You in the market for another one to bring up, or are you trying to minimize now?
I'm going to stay where I am.
Well, as we kind of wrap this up, I guess I'll just, what I always do with our folks who listen to the podcast or when I interview someone, I just really give them an opportunity to use the microphone and speak directly to our audience and tell them why they should maybe at least come visit, but maybe if they like it, maybe they should come move to Osceola, Georgia.
Well, if you live in Florida, property taxes are low. We have best citizens in the country. We got a little town. We'd love to have you here. If you're thinking about retiring, Osceola is a place to come. Urban County is a county to come to.
We'll use that little soundbite right there to promote the retirement community we're going to build here in Osceola.
Yes. So.
Well, Mayor Lamar Royal, thanks for coming in and
enjoyed it,
talking
man.
About Osceola and joining us on Small Town Podcast.
I enjoyed it.
All right.
Small Town Podcast is supported by the Southern Mercantile. Visit southernmercantile.com for a blog about small town living and an online store with a selection of carefully curated goods. The Southern Mercantile. Simple living, Southern charm. Irwinomics is the producer of Small Town Podcast. We also handle digital media production and marketing for small businesses in small towns like ours. We believe that small businesses and rural communities are the key to sustained growth and high quality of life. And we know that now, more than ever before, small businesses need someone that they can trust to help with the very necessary aspect of digital marketing to help your business grow and find new customers. Your digital presence is now just as important as your physical presence, if not more so. Irwinomics helps clients with all aspects of digital communications, from website creation and maintenance, social media, email lists and newsletters, and making sure that all of those things are working together to build your business beyond the city limits and the county lines, so that you can focus on keeping your community strong and vibrant. For more information and to see how Caitlin, Bailey, and Matt can guide you into growing your business, go to irwinomics.com or contact us through Small Town Podcast. That's IRWINOMICS.com. Irwinomics, helping small town business thrive. When I was first elected as the mayor of Osceola, I did not have a full appreciation for what was involved in running a city of any size. In a small town, and especially one without a city manager, you rely heavily on your department heads. They are the ones that keep things running, and when they do a good job, they keep the mayor out of trouble. I am very fortunate to have a team of great department heads. The most senior of these is my police chief. Now, he's not a fan of being on cameras and microphones, even though he has had plenty of experience dealing with the media over his many years of service. He's been reluctant to let me interview before, but I finally convinced him to come on the microphone just to talk about his hometown. Well, small towners, I'm not sure how I pulled this off. I didn't think this could happen, but I have on the other microphone across the table from me, the police chief of the great city of Osceola, Chief Billy J. Hancock. Chief, thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for the invite, I think.
I did not threaten to withhold pay or bonuses or raises or anything to get him on here, but I remember when I first started talking to you about being on one of my podcast episodes about law enforcement and small town and all that. That's when you said, you know, the president of the Chiefs Association in Georgia is from a small town, and that's how we got our interview with Chief Wesley Walker over in Lyons. And you probably thought that would solve that problem for you. And
I thought you would have been satisfied with that.
I mean, I was very satisfied. It was a great interview. I enjoyed talking with him and meeting him, and he definitely gave us a good perspective. But, you know, can't come do an episode on Osceola without not sitting and talking with the chief.
So you ran out of material?
No. This is just the good stuff.
Okay.
I will say this, though, because everyone that's loyal listeners needs to know something. You've had a very powerful impact on the Small Town Podcast. Every episode, there's something that happens. It's all because of you, and that's come go with me. I just picked up that phrase. I'd never heard that phrase before you and I, before I became mayor, because we'd met before that. Yeah, the chief would sit in my office. I'd be at my desk. He'd be at the chair on the other side of my desk and, you know, talk about things we need to talk about between a mayor and a police chief. And then at the end, he'd stand up and say, come go with me. And I got up because I thought that meant I was supposed to go with him on a ride along. He wanted to show me something out in town or, you know. And so he just tried to explain, no, that's just an expression.
Just good Southern hospitality to not leave you there while somebody else is leaving the building.
That's right. Well, and so I liked it so much, so I've incorporated it. And so that's why I say, come go with me every time. So that's your mark on Small Town Podcast. So thank you.
You are welcome.
It's going to be like pulling teeth to get you to talk on this thing. Let's start. I always like to get to know my guests, and even though I know you a little bit, the audience doesn't. So I'll ask the same question I usually start out with everybody and ask you, were you born in Osceola, Georgia?
I was born in the big city of Osceola in 1963.
I'm going to ask you the year now.
Well, that's all right. I'm very proud of my age. I've earned every year.
So born and raised here, went to Irwin County High School. And what did you do after high school?
Well, after high school, I began working at a local furniture store in a Western Auto. that was my first job, and stayed in that particular profession until I became interested in law enforcement in 1984.
So before that, you weren't really interested in law enforcement?
Well, I didn't know. I mean, you know, I was, you know, 18 years old at the time, didn't know what I wanted to do. Started off with the retail business, enjoyed meeting people and socializing with people and trying to give them what they wanted and hopefully make a profit at the same time for the store.
Yeah.
But trying to make people happy, you know, it was good times.
Yeah. So what is it that got you interested in going into law enforcement then?
I think what really got me interested in it, one day I was in Western Auto and I was working as a sales clerk and a police officer came in from Osceola. And they all knew me. They were always cutting up with me. And they said, well, your car is stolen. And I said, no, it's not. It's sitting right out back. And next thing I know, I hear on their radio, they're describing my car that's being chased by the state patrol and local police as well. My car was stolen out from behind the business. I'd left the keys in it that particular day. So they chased the guy, tried to chase him down. He took a bush bond and took off in the bushes and they were unable to catch him, but I did get my car back. I guess that was my first encounter with the police, yeah, other than some speeding tickets when I was younger. So that kind of sparked my interest, and I guess the rest is a lot of years of service.
Did you think it was neat that they informed you that your car was stolen, even though you thought it was sitting right behind the building?
I did, because I thought they were really kidding with me and cutting up, but they weren't, of course.
Wow, okay. So went to the police academy, and did you actually, I want to make sure I get these details right. Was Osceola the first place you were at?
It was. Osceola was where I started out. Jim Wilkerson was the mayor at the time. And I started in 1984 and went to the ABAC Police Academy.
Okay. And you were here for a handful of years, and I think then you went to Fitzgerald, is that right?
I did. I worked here for about 5 years, and then I went to Fitzgerald as a detective and got a promotion there, and then came back to Osceola in 1992.
And that's when you came back to be the police chief?
Came back to be the police chief.
So you've been, and how many, do the math for me real quick, because I know you know
28 years as chief.
You've been the police chief in small town Osceola, Georgia for 28 years.
Worked with seven guys like you.
I was going to say, you've been through a lot of mayors. I hope not to be through as many police chiefs as you have been mayors.
You probably won't.
You sparked your interest, you got into it. I kind of want to ask your perspective in general, but I won't even ask a specific question, so you can take it how you want. Obviously, things have changed a lot in law enforcement and rural communities and just in the world in general in 28 years. So I guess just reflect on that. How have things changed? What do you miss or what do you like maybe that's gotten better over the years?
Well, Osceola has always been a small hometown, 3,400 people, somewhere there about. Whole county is less than 10,000. And Osceola's always been a community that everybody's friendly. They know you. They know most of your business, and you know theirs.
Yeah.
And that's good and bad, but it is what I like about it. The changes that I've seen in law enforcement or whatever, certainly the changes in technology has been the biggest change through here. When I first started with the Osceola Police Department in 1984, we didn't have a computer in the building.
Right.
Now everywhere you turn, there's a computer. And the technology has certainly changed. It's also changed in the area of investigations through DNA, and Crime Lab has expanded and done a lot more stuff than they used to do back in the early 80s when I started.
So what do you miss about what maybe changed that, you know, is there something that maybe you got a little nostalgia about?
I know that
you miss that they don't make Crown Vics anymore, so you've been holding on to yours. What year is your car?
Oh, my car is a 2005 Crown Vic with over 200,000 miles on it. I'm still holding on to it. I'm going to be the last one to drive a Crown Vic in our department unless something
changes.
You keep
going, maybe in the state, because there's not that many left. Some people have transitioned out to a Charger and an SUV and a truck and everything.
Well, it won't be too long before we change it, I would imagine, but it is getting old.
That's why you agreed to this interview. You want a new car.
Oh, well, you know, it's getting time, but I wouldn't mind driving it for a little while longer.
It's
nothing comparable out there, I don't think.
I don't want to ask about a specific thing, but I know you and I, just in my short time, you know, as one of the seven mayors you've had to work with, we've dealt with some things where Osceola gets some negative attention, and usually law enforcement's having to be involved somehow. So I guess just speak to that, how you handle that, how you feel about that. I mean, it's your hometown, and you're also the chief of it. There's two different angles to kind of think about there, but we've dealt with things. I know you've dealt with things long before I came along. So what's that like to kind of deal with it? Does it frustrate you? Is it just kind of the way things are?
Well, I guess in summary, it is just the way things are. It's a different time where, you know, people do kind of hold you to a different standard or whatever from this day, you know, from this point. Law enforcement has changed a lot. But in our community, in Osceola or whatever, the people have always been real supportive. And that's been a blessing compared to some of the other communities where we've seen protest and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Even though we have had some protest here, we have a detention center that we utilize, and they have some federal inmates there, and there's been issues there that have been protested about. And I think we've handled those successfully so far without any incidents. And the people also got to protest and say their piece as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, actually, even as you were saying that, you kind of touched on it anyway. It seems like there's some, I guess, the pros about being involved with a small town is we're not seeing, at least haven't seen so far, to the extent that other major metropolitan areas and larger
yeah, towns. When I said a protest, ours were very, very
right.
small.
Right, ours, demonstration or march.
We're talking 40, 50 people, maybe 75 people at different times, but it, you know, very peaceful and no issues.
And usually one of us is actually marching in the march. So that helps too.
That has happened too, or actually leading the march.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you think that's easier to do? I mean, the concept of community policing, that phrase has been used a lot more this year, but the concept, whether you called it that or not, was kind of, it seems like it's been in play a long time in small towns, and they're having to incorporate it somehow in larger places.
I mean, personally, I don't think that we've ever stopped community policing in Osceola. I don't think that we can not do that. I don't think that's possible because of the, you know, the friendliness of a lot of people here.
Yeah, and that's I'll say this. The chief's philosophy about things has definitely influenced me, because whatever decisions you make, you know you're going to face those people at the grocery store, the post office, and church. And so whether it's a law enforcement issue of a, you know, issuing a citation and how harsh you're going to be in a penalty, that kind of thing, or, you know, some of the things we have to deal with at City Hall that are, you know, even separate from law enforcement, that's influenced me. So thank you for your community policing philosophy that goes a lot more than just policing for me.
Well, you're welcome. You said it just perfect.
Yeah, I talk a lot. Sorry. You just sit quiet and...
Well, when other people talk, you have to be polite. That's part of policing, is to listen to what other people want you to hear.
Not just as the police chief, just as a person who loves his hometown, I want to kind of give you an opportunity. Speak directly into the mic. Talk to the audience. What do you want to make sure they know about Osceola? Maybe encourage them to come visit, or if they like it, they can just come move here.
Well, we certainly believe that Osceola is a great community, great place to work and raise your kids, and we have told a few people it's not for everybody. Oh, they have been some people that come to Osceola that we would rather not have, but we welcome everybody here that is interested in having a good place to live and something they're proud to call their hometown.
Chief Billy Hancock, thanks for agreeing to join me on the microphone.
Well, you are welcome. Number 7.
Now, I hope you know I didn't pass up the chance to ask my get-to-know-you questions of the mayor and the police chief. So let's get to know Mayor Lamar Royal and Chief Billy Hancock.
All right, we're going to get to know Mayor Lamar Royal now. So I got 4 questions for you to help people get to know you a little better. So first question, do you have or have you ever had a nickname?
I had a nickname as Crip.
Crip?
In high school.
Yeah?
Unfortunately, turned a truck over and broke my leg, and my entire senior year was spent in a cast.
Your entire senior year?
My entire night. That's a bad entire break. Year. It was not healing.
So that was your
I have the nickname Crip.
And is that how people signed your yearbook?
Some did. Yes.
Crip. How long did that last? I mean, people still call you Crip?
I was in a cast for over 10 months.
But you got class reunions. They refer to you as Crip. 20 and 30 and 40 years later. They still call you Crip?
Yeah, Howell Taylor was in my class.
And so he calls you Crip.
Victor Walters, you probably don't know him. He's lives in Douglas now. Chloe McCraney.
Yeah.
He was in my class.
Yeah.
Several of them around here were in my class.
And still call you Crip?
No, they don't call me Crip anymore. Victor does.
Okay, just one. Well, the rest of them have gone back to calling you Lamar.
Yes.
All right. All right, next question. What would be your go-to karaoke song?
Ooh. Well, it would be, I guess it would be Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire, man.
Ring of Fire? Oh, yeah. Man, that'd be great. We're going to set up karaoke night in downtown Osceola just to feature you singing Ring of Fire. Oh, man, it's going to be great. All right, third question. What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
That was tougher than the karaoke song?
That's tough, yes.
Usually people have a hard time with the karaoke song and an easy time with the favorite meal.
I have a tough time because I have so many favorite meals.
You only had one favorite karaoke song, got a lot of favorite meals.
Right now, what lingers in my mind is the Catfish House steak the other night.
Okay.
It was delicious.
They do have good steaks there. People go for the catfish, but man, that steak's delicious. Get that and some seafood to go on the side, a little surf and turf.
Yeah.
Right now, that's your favorite meal,
that would be my favorite
Catfish
meal.
House steak. Okay. What sides?
I always get grits and salad.
All right.
Blue cheese dressing.
Blue cheese, even to the dressing. All right, final question. If you could attend any concert of any singer, duo, band, any kind of group performer of any kind, whether they are dead or alive, whose concert would you want to attend?
That's a tough one, too. I attended a few of them. Neil Diamond was great. The one singer I really love... I could not sing those songs as a lady named Nana Mouskouri.
Nana Mouskouri?
Yes. She's got a song. She sings Amazing Grace, and she has the most beautiful voice. And I would love to hear her sing. The orchestra is always wonderful. I'd love to hear that live.
That's the concert.
Yeah.
All right. Lamar Royal, thanks for letting us get to know you.
All right.
All right, here's our get-to-know-you questions with Chief Billy Hancock. Four questions to help everyone get to know you a little better. First question, do you have or have you ever had a nickname?
No. Never had a nickname.
Never.
Never had a nickname.
You got the chief too fast in your career. Everyone's afraid to give you a nickname.
I guess so.
Not at Western Auto and everyone's giving you a hard time?
Nothing. No. Nobody ever gave me a nickname.
Just Billy.
We don't want to start now.
Oh, well, I wasn't trying to start one now. I just thought there'd be a good story from the past or something, so...
Okay.
All right. Next question. Man, I'm going to let that go, but I was really hoping for a good story there. All right. Next question. What would be your go-to karaoke song?
Oh, that's not a good question for me.
That's a great question.
I don't think I really would have one because I'm not a great singer at all.
That's okay. That is not the point of karaoke.
I mean, I can't think of any that would be great for me to get up and sing or whatever.
All right, we'll come back to that one because one of these other questions will help you jog your memory. So this will be easier for you. This will be a better warm-up question. What is your favorite meal or favorite dish?
Oh, my favorite meal has got to be a good steak with a baked potato or some good side salad. Of course, I like seafood too, so I can go both ways. So I can go surf or turf.
I was going to say, it sounds like a surf and turf would be your favorite meal. That'd be probably one of mine, too. All right, final question, and then we'll go back to the karaoke one. If you could attend any concert of any singer, duo, group, any kind of performer at all, and they are either dead or alive, whose concert would you want to attend?
It'd have to be Elvis Presley.
Elvis Presley. All right, which Elvis song would you want to sing karaoke then?
You put me on the spot. I can't remember.
I got a suggestion for you. Since you're the chief of police and you said Elvis, how about Jailhouse Rock?
Jailhouse Rock? I wouldn't even attempt to try to sing that either. But anyway.
Well, is that what we're going with?
That's what we can go with.
Okay, that's fine. Billy Hancock, thanks for letting me get to know you.
Thank you.
Well, small towners, that'll do it for this episode of Small Town Podcast. I want to thank Mayor Lamar Royal and Chief Billy Hancock for talking with me. On the next episode of the podcast, you'll get to know the current city council of the great city of Osceola.
I'm Mona Polk. I'm District 1 City Council member for the great city of Osceola.
My name is Patrice Y. Williams Mantley. I serve District 2.
My name is Lamar Moses. I was elected in 2002 for the city of Osceola, District 3.
Stephen Hudson, District 4 City Councilman, elected November 2019.
Hey, I'm Claire Clayton Stone. I'm representing District 5 of the great city of Osceola, and I was first elected in November of 2019.
As always, I want to thank our season sponsors for Season 3, the Georgia Municipal Association, Consolidated Pipe, the Southern Mercantile, and Public Software for supporting us as we explore and share great small towns. I'll talk to you soon, and y'all are welcome to come to Osceola anytime.
Small Town Podcast is an Irwinomics production. We release new episodes every other week featuring small towns through stories of the people who live and lead there. Our podcast episodes are made possible with editing assistance from Resonate Recordings, who also mixes and masters all of our episodes. You can subscribe to Small Town Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and the next episode will download while you sleep. You can also leave us a rating and review, which would help us reach new listeners. We would really appreciate it. Beyond our episodes, you can engage with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also learn more about us and the small towns we visit by visiting our website, www.smalltownpodcast.com. We'd love to show all you small towners out there some great images from the small towns we visit and let you know about the festivals and events you can participate in. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you real soon, because there's no place like Osceola, Georgia.
We stand adjourned.